that just, we was like, throw this whole dude away. I mean, like it's like, we ain't talking trash about Joe. Joe the man seemed real dope. This Roman Reigns character need to die. It was like this character is cursed. You know? It was like, yeah. The big dog character to me was cursed from moment one. So I was like, this sounds like he's taking over Undertaker's spot. Then they put him in the Undertaker's spot. And then they were like, oh, well, he needs to be John Cena. I'm like, he's the Undertaker.
What's going on, man? This is Ice Nigma.
Yeah, and this is T-Nigma, and this is Enigmas Unchained.
What it do, my peoples? This is year two of Enigmas Unchained. We are now 2 years old. Thank you for bearing with us throughout the hiatus. Life has been quite strange, like a video game, but not just like them. But I'm T Enigma, and I have your friend's best friend, the Ice, with me. How you doing, brother?
That's right. Hey, man, I can't complain, man.
That's what's up, man. Say,
like you say, you said thank you. I'm saying thank you as well. We couldn't have made it this far without the people, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're close to 4,000, you know, right now, like at the 2-year mark. So it was actually my objective goal to get to 5, but we hadn't been releasing content. So I can't be upset about that. So I was like, we're still getting listens, even when we were like almost a 2-month hiatus, then we must be doing something okay. So, yeah, but thank you for being with us. Happy anniversary, my brother.
Happy anniversary to you too.
Absolutely, man. So we are here now because on our anniversary, we have always decided that it would be a WrestleMania show. And we had lots of wrestling around. Man, listen. I mean, it was, my goodness, bro. I mean, there were so many shows in that 1 week that I don't even know if we have the full capacity to do them all. I mean, it's like there was the Raw before WrestleMania. They had made a graph for that. You had Supercard of Honor. You had the NXT show, which is regular NXT. You had Dynamite. Then you had Rampage. You had the SmackDown before WrestleMania. Supercard of Honor. The, you know, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. Then you had, what's the name? The night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania. And it pretty much went on throughout the entire week, because then it became the SmackDown after WrestleMania, because they had the address from Roman Reigns built into that. But I'm like, he's like, yeah, I'm here, but I ain't telling y'all nothing until Friday. We'll get to that in a little while. But yeah, you know, it was a stacked week. So much happened. I mean, it was so many things happened. The major news, of course, was Cody Rhodes signing with WWE, finally, which honestly, not to be mean about the Homelander, but we kind of knew that was coming. I mean, like
look at him.
Yeah, I mean, just yeah, talk to him, Mike.
That was the worst kept secret.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's like the world. I mean, homeboy been talking all this trash. I mean, he felt like the jilted lover of that relationship with WWE. You know, like he was like always. It wasn't like Kenny Omega wasn't the one throwing cracks, right? Young Bucks every once in a while had something smart to say, but the main sucker that was openly and publicly like trashing WWE outside of Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston flamed them suckers. Yo, dog, Steve Austin ain't here. but it was Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was like the main dude really talking trash about WWE. I mean, it was like clockwork. I mean, everything from the throne being broken to him, like, you know, including them into all his promos. Chris Jericho had a few zingers, you know, about the bad creative and stuff like that. And, but Eddie Kingston, I would say, at least to me, Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho, and Cody were the main culprits in that. Even Miro didn't really do a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it came to, he didn't really say anything, at least not to my recollection. I don't remember him really saying anything that would be offensive to like his WWE creative, you know? So he was just the Redeemer, which I can't wait to see that character. But oh my goodness.
I love it, man.
God's favorite wrestler, buddy. So I'm hoping he's on the mend well and comes back like as a beast. Let's go for the dog on AEW championship. But Cody was the one. I was like, this dude just seems real angry about the fact they let him go when he had a trash character, you know. And now, since we're gonna get into this, because like we really don't have to do like a breakdown of each show because people already know the results. We way out. We'll just give a couple of thoughts. We'll keep moving. But just really touching this Cody situation, I can understand why the Bucks and them are mad. You know, like the Bucks and Omega risk their lives to build a better place for everybody, right?
Right.
You know, they started being the Elite in 2015, 16, something like that. It was right when Kenny Omega was like pretty much leader of the Bullet Club. One of the dopest arcs in wrestling history is like right now, like 2016, 2019. Like that whole area. With like the Kenny versus Okada, which I would put at on top of anybody's list. They're my top matches, period. They ain't a match I've seen better than the matches. And I'm like, the emotional, forget all that. I've not seen a better sequence of matches than those three matches. I've not seen one. I ain't seen one from WWE ever. I mean, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Macho is like literally on that list, and they still, to me, ain't better than that match. I love that match. But right. I'm like I've not seen wrestling like that match, period, since that match. Now, even Danielson versus Omega was dope, but it wasn't that dope. You know what I'm saying? Like Danielson, Danielson versus Heyman was dope, but it wasn't as dope as Danielson versus Omega, and Danielson versus Omega still wasn't as dope as Okada versus Omega. Who's a common factor in most of these is Omega. So. They'd be like, why is he the best wrestler? Best
machine, man.
The best bout. You know, I got a new name for him. Got a new name for him.
Omega.
No. It's even better than that. It's even better than that. He's the Luffy of wrestling.
Oh, goodness. Oh, Lord.
he is the freest man in wrestling.
I was about to say, he didn't hit Gear 5. Makes sense.
Just being real.
He hit Gear 5 before Luffy did. So, hey.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So, hit the V-trigger. So then, can you say Luffy is the Kenny Omega of One Piece?
Yes. Luffy is the Kenny Omega of One Piece. People don't like him because they don't understand him, but that sucker is free and people enjoy his freedom. And it has changed their lives because they trusted in that dude's freedom. Does that sound like you?
Yeah.
That sound like you?
I mean, it writes itself.
It's like there's no corporate machine behind him. Stone Cold Steve Austin had a corporate machine behind him. Okay, this is not a shade. I'm just calling a spade a spade. Rock had a corporate machine behind him. Okay, Undertaker had a corporate machine behind him. Triple H had a corporate machine behind him. Macho Man Randy Savage had a corporate machine behind him. Hulk Hogan had a corporate machine behind him. Kenny Omega, no corporate machine. He is the machine. He's the best bout machine. And he's a Luffy of wrestling. Everywhere he went, everybody got freedom. Everywhere. Remember, he went to DDT, four went paying attention to DDT, and all of a sudden DDT blew up. How in the world does DDT blow up? People talk trash about DDT. I'm like, go watch the matches outside the comedy matches. They were just doing stuff. They're like, we was going to do stuff, but they had some bomb matches at DDT, right? The versatility. Mm-hmm. Now, it's versatile in DDT. Then you look at like him going to PWG, right? Once again, PWG. Unknown, all of a sudden the Bucks and Omega and them show up. What? Oh, wow. They blow up. Wow. Didn't know that was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, so then Ring of Honor, you know, almost on his deathbed, got Kenny Omega and the Bucks while they were wandering around in their freedom. And guess what?
Yeah.
We got some of the best story arcs that came out of Ring of Honor in between those years of 2016 to 2019, right? Then he goes to, you know, with AEW, which is like fully brand new as an EVP. Now, he has not done a very good job with women's division. I'm not going to lie on this man. I think he's too free to be doing anything for other people. That sounds strange. That's my take. I don't think he need to be having nobody but Kenny Omega. That's how I feel about it. That's how Luffy did it. That's how his daddy did it. And that's how we gonna say that it is.
Well, yeah.
It's like people follow Dragon because Dragon is there. So Dragon's like, I'll take care of y'all only because I need to. But Luffy's like, who hit you? Who hurt you? Who hurt you? That person's busted. I'm gonna beat him up.
Right. But basically.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty much all. He won't kill you, but he'll beat you up. He's Batman, you know. He's what Batman should have been. I'm putting like that.
Man, no, because we'll never be done with One Piece.
that is true. But you know, like at the like the freedom aspect of Kenny Omega's character is like not just a character ploy. It really is him. So when he went to AEW, people was like, yo, he's the flagship. It wasn't the Young Bucks. This ain't no shade. It wasn't Cody. It wasn't the Young Bucks. It was Kenny, by God, Omega, the Luffy of wrestling. And guess what? He wasn't looking for no Admiralty board on no Admiral ship. He was just going because he wanted to see wrestling change. Don't that sound familiar? Do your own thing, okay? But we want you to be our captain. I don't want to be your captain. You just do your just my all right, forget it. If you want me to be your captain, then do this one thing for me. Do whatever it is that you believe is the best thing for you to do. Who said that? Oh, Monkey D. Luffy. Monkey D. Luffy. Yeah.
Then them jokers took off. Now this joker got like what a 5,000 person fleet.
And what you think halfway AEW? it went from 3-4 people, right? To 30 people. Then we got a couple people drop off along the way, but then more people, because they see the freedom that AEW possesses, they want to come. Bryan Danielson, who was literally on the verge of quitting wrestling, saw AEW and saw matches with Kenny Omega, because he used to fight Kenny Omega a lot in PWG and Ring of Honor, and he was like, I need to fight this version of Kenny Omega. CM Punk sitting at the house hating on WWE as he lives and breathes, okay?
Oh, man.
With every living breath, he breathes hate for WWE. And he looks at Kenny by God Omega and says, this mother is phenomenal. I need a match with this dude one day. And it sparked his interest. It's like all these people the gravitational pull is Kenny Omega. So he's a Luffy of wrestling. He's a Luffy like that. He doesn't have to be the absolute 100% best wrestler in the world, which I think he is. But the fact that he is in the conversation, like Luffy is a fifth admiral, and he's not really an admiral. They're like, well, he's not an admiral he's not one of them. And it was like, but he kind of is. They're like, no, he's not. And there's a fight in their universe about Luffy being an admiral. And there's a fight in our world about Kenny Omega being one of the best wrestlers in the world. Or being the best wrestler in the world. The same storyline we watched with Kenny Omega was seeing unfold with Monkey D. Luffy. So I just want to say that because the parallels are there. And I always admire a good freedom story. You know, not Aaron Simp Boy Jaeger, not that type of freedom. But that boy was tied to his emotions, you know, like spoiler alert. He did it all because he wanted to sleep with one girl that he told he didn't like her. So if they ain't simp,
go back and say, hey, I didn't mean it.
No, it's too late. He done killed too many people. So it's like the whole thing. Like it's like it's almost like incel rage. I mean, I can't divorce that from that show now. They're like because he wasn't getting anything from a female. He's like, oh, well, genocide it is. That's pretty much all I see now.
What?
I was like, huh?
Oh my god!
I mean, like, listen, like the way that he ended it, that's how it makes it look at me now. I'm like, god dang it, man! Wow, bro! I said, now it just looks like a dude that was mad that the female said no, like, your family to me. Oh, bet. All right, so 95% of this world is gonna die. That's pretty much what happened. I mean, it's like y'all can try and make it more complex than it is, but let's call it spade a spade. The way that it ended, that's exactly what it was. That dude was a full on incel, and he had power. And he finally tasted power. He took it out on the rest of the planet, except for her. he kissed her, and the rest of the world was dead. 95% of the planet is gone. And he wanted her to take him out so he could get a kiss. That sounds like some Will Smith behavior, buddy. But you know, like yeah, just a. Yeah, just we'll talk about that in a little bit too. So NXT Stand and Deliver, I think it was what was it Stand and Deliver? Stand and Deliver was a mid show. it was okay. I mean, like you know, like the fact they had like Dolph Ziggler win and then on Monday he loses again, it was stupid. I was like, this is stupid. So
why did y'all even, why even give him the belt to begin with?
That's I was flat out confused, bro. What was the whole point? What was the point of letting Dolph Ziggler win this match? And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, on Monday we need more eyes on Raw. It's like nobody, if they ain't watching at the WrestleMania, they ain't watching. And Dolph Ziggler versus Braun Breaker, y'all should have kept as Rick Steiner. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not going to change that. It's just, it wasn't going to change it. And it didn't. You know what I'm saying? So he got a belt back, and now we're like, okay. And he beats Walter? Well, I'm sorry. My bad. He beats Gunther. He beats Gunther, which the Ludwig character got me, because I saw when homeboy hit the boot on your boy, he was like, he was filling it in a win. I was like, give this man more TV. I was like, forget. He's like, he's sitting over there, like he's listening to the Symphony of Violence. He's like, when Walter ain't calling him Gunther. When Walter hit that dude with that big boot, bro, I was like, this motherfucker spitting.
And they changed his name with the quickness. I'm like, wait a minute. He was Marcel Bartel, a few days ago.
Flat out a few days ago. I will say the Ludwig name and him doing the little things, he vibing with it. So I'm not mad at that particular name change. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with the other boy, though. What's his name? Fabian Eichner. I'm going to be real. He needs a name change.
They're going to do him like Veer, man. He coming.
And he going to get lost on MapQuest again. And we won't see him. We won't see that brother for another, year and a half? I mean, we saw Veer, and then all of a sudden, Veer's coming. I'm like, what type of backwards? You acting like I didn't remember that he was just with Jinder Mahal and some other random dude. I mean, let's keep it at 100, man. Yeah, so, I mean, but yeah, it was Stand and Deliver was all right. I mean, it was – didn't Tyson Tracy took their belts back, too? Didn't they?
When did they get them back?
They got them back that next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, why in the world?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, bro, it's
I know why. Because, girl, she on SmackDown now.
Well, yeah, but that means just let her lose.
Mm-hmm. That made too much sense.
Yeah, most of the thing, and then like the stuff that happened with Nash Carter, yo.
Man.
You know, like his ex-wife calling out charges. No validity to anything. Nobody knew what was going on. Then he got like he was in a picture doing the Nazi salute. And I was like, God dang it, boy, you're fired now. So it wasn't the allegations, people. Just to let y'all know that. It wasn't the allegations because they couldn't find anything behind it. It was a Nazi salute that got him fired. So that puts out what's your boy name? His own tag team partner.
Wes.
Wes, they put Wes. Wes Lee is like pretty much just in the ether now. So they had to strip him of a WWE. I mean, with other NXT tag team championship, he's no longer a tag team champion. And whether they repackage him as a single guy, we don't know because he's normally done. You know, like at least within the past, say probably like 2 or 3 years, he's been in tag team. But I think he more than likely can bounce back as a singles competitor. Because boy is good now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Even when they was with the Rascals. It was them two.
Yeah, it was still good. You know what I'm saying? But he was in Lucha Underground and stuff like that too, though. I mean, so he's wrestled by himself. But it's going to, what character will he take is a thing. So he's going to probably take a break, come up with some character work, and then come back in and just go in as a singles. Because it's, man, I was like, yo, this is crazy. So, yeah, but they won, and then they had to relinquish it. You know, they had to just let it go because of all that, because they fired Nash. And now it's back up for grabs for this Tuesday, which is today. We're recording on Tuesday, by the way, people. So it airs today. So we'll probably talk about that next week or so to see what's going on with that. But yeah, you know, Mandy Rose is still dominating. Props. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the best decision right now. Keep the belt on Mandy because Mandy, she got it. I was like, she found her stride. You know what I'm saying? Keep her in the game. Let her have a nice long title reign. Tommaso Ciampa is now on main roster. He believes that Elias is Ezekiel, so automatically he lost points with me. So yeah, but
No, Kevin did that. Kevin did it.
No.
Tommaso too?
Yeah, Tommaso believes that Ezekiel is Elias is Ezekiel. Kevin is the only sane person on that roster. And he's like, no, this is Elias. And and Tommaso's like, no, this is little brother Ezekiel. I'm like, you've lost all your points, brother. You become a gimmick character.
No, man.
This ain't Tommaso Ciampa. Who is this? I'm talking about the sucker that used to come out to No One Will Survive. What happened to that dude, huh?
But, the man that used to come out to booze, man.
Yeah, the man who had no interest music. That was the best Tommaso Ciampa.
I actually, to be honest with you, that was the version that I liked the most.
That was a fire Tommaso Ciampa, bro. That dude, he came out to just book. It was black entranceway, black Titantron, black ring aprons, black everything. That dude was like black gloves, black mask, black shirt, black pants, blue steel, blue vest.
Blue vest.
He dead. You next. Tommaso Ciampa wasn't handing out smoke. He was handing out bullets. He was like, oh, no, you ain't going to see the smoke because you ain't going to remember it. That was Tommaso Ciampa we got. That dude was like, smoke? Sucker, you be thankful to see a blink. I'm done with you. No one will survive. You know, so, yeah, like that dude was a savage. But, you know, so like they're gonna probably try to pity patty Tommaso Ciampa. He's a funny dude. Now I'm not taking that away. Dude is hilarious when he wants to be, but it's like that's not the strength of his character. His character is not in comedy. You know, his character is in like brutality and like precision. You know, and he's a smaller guy. You know, so like when he stands in front of like a bunch of these guys on the roster, they're like 6 foot and up. He's gonna look like a midget to them. So they need to make sure that they don't diminish this dude while he's fighting these other people. But
no worries. Vince gonna mess him up. No worries.
Oh, yeah, facts. No, we are on countdown. Countdown started the moment I saw. I was like, oh, start the clock. So we're now day two. day two on the destruction of another character. So we'll see how that works. That's how I was like Gunther's card done clocked and started. I'm like, all right, start the clock. Love was Clark. I think it's crazy. This is gonna sound real crazy, and this is a prediction for the future. I think they might end up siding more with Ludwig than they do with going to Walter.
I can see that.
Because he grasped it faster. He took it like it was like instant. He figured it out. And then I told him when he was doing that thing with his hands, I said, this is gonna blow up. Because let's say he whooping somebody behind the ring and he just takes a deep breath in the middle of the ring and just start moving his hands and like he's hearing music. And they're like, he's listening to the Symphony of Violence. I'm like I can dig that. That's a character I can get behind. So yeah, but Stand and Deliver was mid. Super Card of Honor though. That was fire. That was a fire show. And the backstory for Ring of Honor, of course, you know, like they were under contract with Sinclair Broadcast. Sinclair Broadcast, of course, like was like, look, we're done. They stopped investing and they put them up for sale. Tony Khan secretly, covertly, went into the bidding. And it was one of the best. It was like nobody knew. Literally, it was. I gotta get Tony Khan props. I don't know how he has this stuff from people. But he has this stuff from people. You'll get a few people that hear whispers, but none of them can ever say for sure. They're like, we just don't know if he got the juice to do this. And he was like, sucker, I sell the juice. And he copped Ring of Honor. So he bought Ring of Honor and was like, look, we're not even merging them. There will be their own thing, and AEW will be his own thing. So the dope thing, at least I thought was dope, is that it's a free door for AEW and Ring of Honor people to come from promotion to promotion because he owns it. So Jay Lethal, you know what I'm saying, was beaten with Gresham at the end of the show, and Samoa Joe comes out and makes his return, which is dope. That's the undisputed king of Ring of Honor. But like, there's nobody that's been able to catch that throne like Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion, period. Nobody's been able to break that. That is the king of Ring of Honor. So you know, you got that, like CM Punk is like an heir apparent, but he ain't the king.
I see.
Daniel Bryan Danielson is an heir apparent, but he ain't the king, okay. He tore up a lot. He tore up a lot of people for the war. Now he's a good soldier. I'll call him the prime minister of Ring of Honor, because he's got the position to be a king. And I would probably say that the war counselor is CM Punk. Like they were the ones who helped build the industry for on Ring of Honor. They got them the TV deals and the rest of stuff. Under Jim Cornette, as funny as that might sound. Because Jim Cornette was a writer and stuff around that time. So yeah, people can hate all they want, but I'm like, nah, Jim, major part of that, buddy. So props to him, by the way. I mean, like, folk give him hate, but I'm Rohan be spitting game to people. He just don't like Kenny Omega, which that's fine. He's like the world government, you know. So it's perfectly fine, you know.
No.
On a One Piece fold, understand that. It's like the world government, like, man, forget a doggone Monkey D. Luffy. Who is this boy? Say, like, well, this boy that manifested the bills we ain't seen in 800 years. Forget this dude. I was like, it's like, but at the same, they're saying stuff that gives them accolades. They refuse to give him accolades.
Exactly.
No. We've been chasing this thing for 800 years and we have yet to find it. And this boy just pops out of the side with the power of the god, the sun god, Nika. How dare he? And it's like, but he did something absolutely extraordinary. We don't care. We hate this boy. You know what I'm saying? That's Jim Cornette and Kenny Omega. So just every time Kenny Omega do something like real dope, he'd be like, it was because of the guy in the ring with him. What? Brian Danielson brought that out of him. It wasn't him. I was like, it's like, funny,
really,
man.
Really, Jim? Really?
I mean, look. It's pretty much just comedy for me right now. Like, whenever I'll be looking forward to seeing him talk about Orange Cassidy, which he calls my dog pockets, my little dog pockets. And
what?
Kenny, yeah, like because he's like he looks like a little dog with his hands in his pocket. So and the other one is Kenny Omega, but he say he looks like he dances because he moves so fast. He say he calls him Kenny Olivier.
What?
What the hell? Kenny Olivier. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's funny, yo. It's funny. Oh my goodness, man. Yeah. So yeah, like I was like, yo, so yeah, but it's a known fact that, you know, that's like the order of Ring of Honor. But they put on, I mean, Briscoe's versus FTR. Yeah. If you are a wrestler fan, and you like wrestling, I ain't talking about just WWE wrestling, I ain't talking about just AEW wrestling, I'm talking about just wrestling. You like wrestling, you need to watch this match. Find a way to find it on YouTube, Darknet, whatever, I don't care. Find a way to watch this match. FTR has been on a tear. Literally, the enigmas of the month is FTR.
There you go.
FTR was in South Carolina this weekend.
Oh, man.
I was at Comic-Con. I didn't get a chance to get to them because it was way too many people there, man. I mean, I was like, yo, it's crazy out here. You know what I'm saying? Like it was absolutely insane at the Comic-Con over the weekend. I mean, it was so many people at the SC Comic-Con that I would probably say within every two steps, it took you probably like 30 minutes to get maybe 15 feet away from you.
Oh, huh.
People were moving. It was so many people trying to move across each other, stuff like that. I mean, so it was, yeah. But they were there. They were there with all their six belts, the six-star FTR. But, yeah, like, they had a phenomenal match. I mean, like, and Lethal had a match against Lee Moriarty, who I think, you know, like, Lee is right there on the cusp of figuring out his character. It's right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and him working with Jay Lethal was a good thing because, like, Jay Lethal turned heel again with Sanjay Dutt during Ring of Honor on Supercard. So that, and now he's challenging Joe, mentor versus student match. And I was like, oh, because, like I said, he's the king. Samoa Joe is the Roman king, right? He just he left, but that throne has never been able to be occupied by anybody else. At best, there was a steward. In Ring of Honor, like Lord of the Rings. At best, there was a steward. There was never a king. There was never a king, yo. So, yes, I thought it was dope. Like Jay Lethal will be going up against him. Brian Cage being on Ring of Honor made sense to me. Keep him off AEW. I know it's not real mean, but I'm just being real. Keep him off AEW. Like, he let him
AEW stick. AEW wasn't for him.
Nah. I mean, like just let him do Ring of Honor. No, like Cole Cabana, you know, used to do commentary for them. He definitely does well at Ring of Honor. You know, Brian Cage, you know, of course, Grissom. Like, Grissom got juice. You know, Bandido, too. You know, they got the juice, man. I mean, they got it.
Ooh,
and, of course, this Yuta boy. Oh!
Yeah, man. Your new pure ROH champion.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I mean, that boy, he got the juice. I mean, he's coming up. He got the pure on that when Minoru Suzuki came in, beat up Rhett. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, he got the TV championship. And I was like, yo, word? Like I was like that's the dope part. That's Minoru Suzuki's first ever United States championship title. Ever. It happened.
That's crazy.
It happened a week or two ago. So just letting folk get the monumental nature of this thing, you know. So Mercedes Martinez became an interim Ring of Honor women's champion. you know what I'm saying? Swerve was on that bad boy tearing it up. Once again, like, it makes sense. Swerve can also float in and out of Ring of Honor. Keith Lee can float in and out of Ring of Honor. You know, there's certain folk that you can, like, literally just float, like Matt Sydal can float in and out of Ring of Honor into AEW. And they don't have to, like, hire so many people because they already got the people. They got AEW Dark. They have all these folk that's out there doing this stuff. It's like, yo, they got so many people. They could just pass them through. You know what I'm saying? The door is open for them to pass people through. So, bruh, fire. Fire. I mean, like, so yeah, but I really enjoyed this particular one. I think it was dope because of what they did with FTR, Wheeler Yuta kind of setting him up for last week, and what they were gonna do with him last week, which is we'll get to that in a moment. And then also making sure that Jonathan Gresham still looks like a champion. I appreciated that. You know, like he's still the champ, right? And right. And that's important because you're going to need a Ring of Honor champion. So, yeah, but that card, phenomenal, right? Then we got the night one of WrestleMania. Good old night one.
Man, I'll go off on night one.
Well, night one was long, man. it felt like it went on forever. I was like, God, hey, man, are we done yet? I was like, I mean, but on a word, what match? Because like, just no shade towards this particular card. This card was not strong to me. Okay, now the Knights cards were strong. They just had very strong moments, which I think is what WWE is aiming for now. They're just aiming for very strong moments and not really good matches. They're just, we need to have something that people gonna remember, which is what they usually do. They don't really care about the match. So, on the night one, what match was the match that you say was the match of that particular night?
Let me see. I gotta remember. There were so many.
So I got your back. So
okay, cool.
The Usos versus Shinsuke and Rick Boogs. We already know how that ended. Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. Miz and Logan Paul and Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, Bianca and Becky, Cody Rhodes and Seth. Charlotte Flair and Ronda and Stone Cold and Kevin Owens. That was night one. Minus all the 75,000 hours of stuff in between the matches, because it was a lot. The Peacock was showing out with all them goddamn commercials. I was like, all right, Peacock, y'all need to stop this.
Aha, now we got a chance. Commercial.
Yeah, they're like, commercial break, 15 minutes. I'm like, what are y'all doing, man?
Look, man, y'all, look, that's too much.
That's how it felt like I was watching commercials in between matches for like an hour. I was like, y'all need to stop this.
Right. It's true. The way WrestleMania is starting to become, I don't want no commercial in between this.
No, I want this to be over with as fast as possible. Especially you doing two nights of this, man. I mean, like, yeah, but which match was your match of the night?
I have to say I enjoyed Bianca and Becky and the KO show out of all of that.
I can agree with you. I will probably put Becky and Bianca at the top of the list for this night. Yeah, they had the best match. I mean, like, at least that's to me. They went almost 20 minutes and all 20. And there were a couple botches. It wasn't a five-star match. It wasn't like a five-star match, but it was the best match of this show. People are like, well, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. No.
Yeah.
There were lots of botches in this match.
It served its purpose.
It served its purpose on introducing the WWE people back to Cody Rhodes as he is right now. We didn't see Cody Rhodes fight. The fight he had with Sammy Guevara was like 9 times better than this one. And that was like a month ago or something like that. I was like, bro, we like seen something phenomenal about this dude, like literally not 2 months ago. So you coming in the ring to fight Seth Rollins just weird, went wild with me. I was like, okay. And so it was all right match, though. It went on too long. That match should have been about 15 minutes. It was about like 20, it was close to 25 minutes, I believe. I was like, y'all done went long enough, man. This is long enough. Get over with. I was like, just get it over with, man.
Think about it. He pretty much set himself up to be the Triple H AEW.
Well, it is true. You know, so his entrance was like 9 minutes. So he's in the right area. You know what I'm saying? As they immediately took the Cody Vader away from him. He don't even get the elevator thing no more. They're like, nah, bro, that's it. You may get this back for your pay-per-view. You may. We ain't guaranteeing nothing to you. You may not ever get this thing back. Yeah, like, but they let him do the Cody Vader. You know, thankfully they let him keep the nightmare gimmick. So I know that was probably on the top of his list. Like, no, you are not changing me back to I am the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Do not make me nothing else outside of that. So he came back with some leverage because of how he used the people, and I'd use the right word, how he used the people with AEW and the Bucks in them. Like, he used them very well. He knew what he was doing. The whole time he had a plan to go back to win the WWE Championship. That was the whole plan. It's just playing all along. But the match was okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, Seth Rollins, okay, I just don't like Seth Rollins, man. It's just... His interest is always, his characteristics and stuff like that is interesting. I can't even listen to him talk no more. Like the Monday night pound thing he did where he was just like, and Cody, we're gonna have a match. I'm like, who told you that this is gonna get over? Who told you that you like trying to act like you're the Joker in your persona that you are right now was going to get over, was going to really just get over, just do everything the right. Like, they wouldn't make you freaking annoying. Like, you're annoying. His character work has always been annoying to me. Like the best version of him was Seth freaking Rollins from like 2014, 15. Mm-hmm. Probably some of the best, and that's the best work he did to me. And I was after that, it's just been like down and further down. I wouldn't want to see him as champion. It's like, well, what are you gonna do?
Not in this version. No.
What are you gonna do with him? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I understand why Dean Ambrose, not John Moxley, left. It's like the character work that y'all set them up with, it doesn't make them believe. Like, Roman Reigns, Tribal Chief, literally is like 7 years late. If your boy had this thing in 2014, 15, there wouldn't have been no conversation that I hate for no dog on Roman Reigns. We all be like, that was my tribal chief. We all be like, no, that's my tribal chief right there, God dang it.
Yeah, right.
But since we got suffering succotash Roman Reigns, you know what I'm saying? We was like, throw this whole dude away. I mean, like we ain't talking trash about Joe. Joe the man seemed real dope. This Roman Reigns character need to die. It was like this character is cursed. You know? It was like, yeah. The big dog character to me was cursed from moment one. So I was like, this sounds like he's taking over Undertaker's spot. Then they put him in the Undertaker's spot. And then they were like, oh, well, he needs to be John Cena. I'm like, he's the Undertaker.
Oh.
This is what it would look like if the Undertaker was a top guy. Like, that's what Roman Reigns looks like to me. This is what it looks like when you make the Undertaker the top guy. He is a tribal chief. Who's going to be mad at him for calling himself a tribal chief? Nobody. Not me. I like that gimmick. But the dog in the yard, I'm like, you don't even own nothing. You openly admitted that you own nothing, and you're only protecting something that somebody put your behind in. That's a trash gimmick. Be the owner. Tribal Chief is the owner. So
his best line in that arc was that Monday after WrestleMania.
That's what it's my yard now. It's just, that's it. After getting booed for like 6 minutes.
Boy.
That was a dope. I would give him props. He almost turned me. I was like, God dang it. That was a dope line. It's like I can tell. So that it's one of those things too. You can tell we would have vibed with him if we decided to red code, because we none of us is really agreeable. So like just having a casual conversation, sarcasm would be up here in that conversation. It'd be at peak tier at the top. It'd be like, who's going to dominate at being the best person to take over sarcasm? We have a fun. I feel a phenomenal conversation. No, so I was like, I have no doubt about that. Like, but the Roman Reigns they had about 3 years back. No, that was an abomination. I don't know what that dude ain't know what he wanted, but he know he wanted to go back to be the Shield Roman Reigns. He know if he want to go back to FCW. He know if he want to go back to NXT. He was just stuck. He was like, I'm just gonna keep doing the entrance that I know how to do. I'm like, bro, you ain't that no more. The whole crew left you. John Moxley has a whole new entrance. Seth Rollins has a whole new entrance. You the only sucker stuck in the pan, Dana. I'm like, let this go. You know what I'm saying? I was like, let it go. But yeah,
didn't come out there with no suit and a watch, man.
Tribal Chief comes out there in a tracksuit and has more presence than Cody Rhodes in a doggone business suit.
Man,
but that's I'm just saying. But it's going to be interesting to watch the next year or two, like how they actually maneuver around that to have Cody Rhodes become WWE champion and whether or not the people stick with him. We'll see. That's going to be very fun to watch. Charlotte and Ronda had the worst match of the night.
I mean, because, it makes sense that they didn't just throw the belt right on Ronda. I get that part.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just wasn't. I mean, I pay for Peacock, so hey, I gotta watch it.
So what got me, man, is during the match, Ronda did some move. It was a dope move. And they hit the mat, and there was no sound from the audience. It was like other side. It was like a Japanese crowd was watching. You know, there was like, it's just like, yeah, boom. And it's just, it like, yeah.
Well, dang.
No pop, no excitement. Just a bunch of people like, when is this match over? You could like kind of feel the murmurs. Like, match over, man. I'm tired of watching this match, man. So
they poured all their attention into Bianca. They weren't worried about Brian.
And you know, like it's crazy, Becky Lynch, I gotta give her props, what I'm saying? Like she has done an excellent character work with the character that she has right now. You know, like going from the Irish last kicker to the man to big time Bex, right? Or big money Bex, whatever she calls it. I think it's big time. It's big time, big time Bex, yeah, right? Yeah. Love the character development this woman got. She's very versatile. She's improved greatly at wrestling. Oh my goodness. I was like, girl, go ahead. Because beforehand, I wouldn't even have any conversation to have no good match. Not even close. But she's gotten infinitely better than she has been. I'm like, I don't know who you're training with, but keep doing it, girl. Keep on. We need a Trish Stratus transformation around these bad boys. Trish was doing bra and panties, man. All of a sudden, she's taking chair shots. We need that. Okay. We need that again. Okay. We need that, like that full-on travel. You like, this girl can go. You know what I'm saying? Like it just blows your mind. So I love the character work around this, but she straight up shined up on Bianca Belair. That I was whoa. But Bianca had a bomb finish to this match. I mean, she did the joint, she did the backflip to the KOD. I was like, okay, that's a WrestleMania moment that's gonna live forever, or like, it's gonna live for a while, not forever. They believe they should be then, now, and a while. It should be then, now, forever, because in the next 100 years. So I'm like, what the hell is the WWE? So just like no shade. They're like, there'll probably be something else by that time, or like another sport. We don't know. But they're like then, now, and while. You know what I'm saying? Pay my check tomorrow, WWE. Yeah. What was that, bro?
I said, Becky and Sasha know how to take a KOD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I got to get it, because like this match was Becky Lynch's best match. Hands down. I've not seen her wrestle this well in any other match. Like, she came with the game for this joint, right? So I give her props. Like, it was a great match. And Stone Cold, coming back out of retirement, just get that last match. I really do understand what they were doing. You know, he left WrestleMania 19 was involuntary because his body literally couldn't take it anymore. And right. he lost to The Rock, right? So him going out in Dallas, the place that he had his first match in, I thought was pretty dope. You know, like him having the opportunity to go out and do that and catch it and give a couple people some stunners. You know, I'm all for that. You know what I'm saying? Just, he gave Byron Saxton a doggone stunner. I was on the floor last night. Because like Byron, I was like, Byron, how naive can you be? You know, Byron talking about he's waiting, come on up. And he brought me, yeah, he gets up there and he's literally, I'm not lying. So if you go back and watch the footage, he is shaking before it, dropping the beer back, and his hands are just like shaking like this. And he caught the stunner. And I was on the floor laughing. I was like, yo, look. It's almost like he was starstruck and he was shaking because he was so starstruck. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this with Stone. You know, he just didn't see it coming. He was like, we know that he knew it was coming, but it's like the character of Byron Saxton at the time.
Yeah.
Just so starstruck by the presence of Stone Cold that he went into full geek mode. And he was like, I can't believe I'm in the same ring as Stone Cold and was sharing a beer. He probably took the bed like, don't he normally rock? And that's it. He was just laying on the side. You know what I'm saying? Like it just happened. You know, but he, yeah, I mean, I give him props. I mean, I was like, Stone Cold did far better than I thought he would. I mean, he was taking suplexes on concrete. I'm like, Stone Cold, you 58 years old, bro. Stone Cold was like, nah, bro, I'm a wrestler, bro. I'm a wrestler, boy. I'm going to get out here and fight today, boy. He's 57. No, so I was like, I'm like, you still 3 years from 60s. I mean, like, he was out there like, if you want to see Stone Cold come out retired and whoop his behind, give me a hell yeah. And they're like, hell yeah. And they're like, let's get it. The crowd was like,
he was watching Sting on AEW.
Yep. Guys, like,
no, fire. Like, hey, look, Sting is sitting. Sting jumped off the doggone.
No, he did not. He failed. Okay. How dare you say he jumped? That man did not jump. Gravity did that job. Okay. Sting just failed. Okay. The air and gravity made that drop. Let's not lie on Sting. Okay. I mean, I love Sting, but he did not jump. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not what happened. He failed. He just leaned over and was carried by the wind, you know?
I remember seeing that. And I was like, wait a minute, Sting, what are you doing?
I mean, first off, it was too smooth for him to do a jump because the jump would have been abrupt. So I remember he looked left and right in the crowd and he just did this and then gravity did a wreck. Because I had to watch from like five angles, bro. I watched from five angles. I was like, there ain't no way he did this right. And somebody was like right behind Sting when he did this joint. And Sting literally just threw his hands up and just fell off the side. And it was beautiful. It was like, he didn't do like a jump. It was more like a hop, like, you know, like just moving your toes up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he just moved his toes up and fell. You know, but it worked. It was great. Stone Cold ain't doing that.
Oh no, oh goodness. No.
Yeah, Stone Cold ain't, no. Stone Cold, man, forget that. I don't love y'all people that much. You know what I mean? I'm like, please leave me alone. I'll go over here. Yeah, but he was like Stone Cold, like props. He did his thing. You know, it was a typical Stone Cold situation. Though I will say this was a shameless advertisement for his beer. That whole match, I bet you the contract read, if you don't get 15 shots of my beer, I'm gonna say hell no. Sign Stone Cold Steve Austin. I bet you that's what it said on the dog. He was like, I will leave.
Because the show did go off with his beer in the left-hand side.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, they had, like, 15 shots of that beer can. Everything. And what was he doing the whole match? Drinking beer. Whose beer was he drinking? Stone Cold Lager, whatever it was. He was knocking that bad boy back. He's like, look at this cameraman. You see that cameraman? I'll put this right here. You better put this camera right here. You know, he's like, look at me. Look at your, take your little beady eyes and put them right here. Put him on his can right here. So his sales probably through the roof. You know, that's like, I want to drink like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You know, right. You got the brother out there.
And the rest is history. You know, so the rest is history. So
he had the Old Spice Man syndrome. Look at me.
Yeah. So yeah, but it was interesting. I mean, like I would definitely say that night one, to me, was the better night.
I agree.
Logan Paul is a star tonight, though. I'm just flabbergasted that the people that come outside of WWE are better at doing WWE than the people who were in it.
Man, listen.
I'm like flat out confused by that because I'm like, your boy has so much heat and he was great. Logan Paul was phenomenal. I was like, pay this dude $4 million for four matches in a year and I will watch them all. He got the juice, right? And folks was just hating. Why Logan Paul run around that Pokemon card? I'm like, you just a hater, okay?
Funny you bring up the Pokemon card.
Oh, here we go. I forgot. So Ice was an avid Pokemon card enthusiast in our youth. So I can say that. Yeah. So he can talk to you about this better than I can. Talk to him, Ice, about the card.
And listen, if I remember correctly, that card was worth $5 million.
I think you're right. I think it's a little bit more. It's 5 million. I was like, $5 million now. First off, you a gangster. Because I was in the crowd. I'm taking a shot. Black mask, black gloves, black pants, black shoes, black pants. I'm you ain't gonna find me.
Oh no.
I'm coming dressed for the occasion.
Stuff. It's true. Matter of fact, hey, I'll do you one better. I'll dress up like I dress up like the cameraman.
Yeah, man, you know, I was like, take this camera. And I was like, give me this card. Get your behind to the ring, finish this match. I'm gone. And I was like, yeah, like,
hey, what a cameraman, am I called it? Yeah. What cameraman?
What cameraman? Yeah, so
we gone.
Like, we counted 15 cameramen. Like, there's 15. Where's the other guy? He's in the back somewhere tied up. We found him. We don't know who took his stuff. That's right. I'm over here counting the money. Yeah. So yeah. But Logan did an excellent job though. The three amigos. He did the three amigos better than everybody else in WWE.
Oh man,
because like Eddie used to always do that pause. They hit the ground and he would pause for like 3 to 4 seconds and then he would whip. And I was like, just that small attention to detail made the three amigos feel like the original three amigos more than Rey Mysterio or somebody else trying to do it. Now it's like he knows how to do the detail. Even like, you know, he got on the top rope, he like did a little shimmy, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Eddie, man. You know what I'm saying? It was just like Eddie. I was like, yo, this dude watched wrestling, okay? He was a fan. That probably got this or that, this guy, whatever, you know, with wrestling. And then, like, but he's like, oh, I can come in here and stir it up. I can do that. I remember Eddie. And the fam, I mean, boy. I thought the fam was going to attack this dude. I'm not. He in Texas, this, too? Yeah, dude, he went home, man, bro. They was out here like, look, man, you going to be coming out here talking about Eddie like this, bro. He's like, man, he ain't saying nothing about Eddie. He's paying more tribute to Eddie. Than Rey Mysterio did in the past like 15 years. And be like, no, he ain't. No, he ain't. I'm like, look, bro, like let's keep it at 100. Rey can't have the swagger to do the stuff that Logan Paul did with Eddie moves.
You're right.
Paul Dominic need to go back to NXT. Okay. He just ain't got the juice.
They just threw him straight in there. They just threw him straight in.
That boy ain't got the juice, man. It's like we all know it. They know it. But he's a Mysterio. And then Ray is probably like pulling Neptune. Well, my son can't wrestle. And I ain't wrestling. He probably doing that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, my man, fuck your son. Your son goes back to NXT for another 2 years. Let him do some character work. This sucker ain't no dog on Mysterio. This boy is dominant.
I deserve.
This boy ain't no Mysterio. This boy is dominant. Dominant, no last name either. So.
That's why Veer did what he did to him yesterday, man. They sent that cat to a medical hospital, to a medical facility.
Medical facility. Not a hospital. Hospital's too expensive. He sent him to a medical facility. He sent him to urgent care. He sent that dude to urgent care. He didn't send him to the hospital.
He didn't have to do it, but he had to do it.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, like, it's like he Dominic would fare better with a mask on. I know that sounds real mean, but I'm just being real about the situation. He needed his own mask. He needed to wrestle in that own mask for 2 years, figure out his own persona. He does not need to be no Mysterio until he's earned it, because he ain't earned it. Like Rey Mysterio had to earn that name from the previous Rey Mysterio.
Right.
That wasn't something he just got because he was just somebody's son. He had to like actually work for that joint. You know, that was a lineage, right? Dominic ain't got the juice for that right now. So that's it. It's like no shade towards him, but it's just, yeah, just ain't working. Just ain't working, you know. So yeah, but like I said, but I would still say that night one was a better night. And we're gonna take a break and we'll be back to you with night two. So remember to solve those enigmas. Do not leave them unsolved, and to cover up your faces and wash your filthy hands. It's still applicable. I mean, we still got lots of other stuff going on outside COVID. Always cover, always wash your hands, please. If you ain't covering your face up, please wash your filthy hands. Do that much at least. Take care of your neighbor, and we out of here.
Up, guys, out.